You're listening to Westside Church. For more information, visit us at westsideinfo.com.
It's a good start. Well, thanks for joining, everyone. Really appreciate it. I want to be cognizant of our time as well. I know it's a fun night to be out as well. So we're going to try to start on time, end on time, that kind of things. I think we've talked about this going to 8. I'll probably go 8, probably, unless Chuck's teaching, go longer than 8:15. But so just kind of give a general overview. So, yeah. Thanks for coming. We're going to start in prayer, and then we'll get into this awesomeness. So God, we thank you for your majesty. We thank you that you are on the throne. We thank you that through sending Jesus Christ, that we, through his shed blood and resurrection, are able to come into your presence, into your very throne room each day, each and every day. But we ask that you would come, open our hearts and our minds and our ears to the awesome things that are in your word, so that we may become more empowered, confident and bold in the things that you've called us to do as men and as men of the King, so that we may go out and continue to proclaim and the message that you've given us, Father. We ask that your Holy Spirit would be here with us continually, as you promised that it will, and we thank you again for that as well. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, welcome, gentlemen. You have made one of the most important decisions of your lives by attending this kickoff class. Yeah. So what we're gonna do, first off, for everyone's sake and mine, no sheeshin, come on. You do a hallelujah that the boy showed up. Nothing, no sheeshin, man. If we can, because I don't know if everyone knows everybody, or we might, and if we do, fantastic. Let's start with Corbin, and then we'll go counterclockwise around. Just introduce yourself, your name, and
Hi, Corbin. I'm an alcoholic.
And what are your expectations for this for a time?
My expectations of this class, I actually didn't even know what this class was about. I wrote on Matt's table there, and now I expect to rightly divide the word of truth. pertaining to sexual purity, and what that means between the relationship between me and my wife, and thus between us. Thank you, Matt.
You're great. Awesome. So counterclockwise would mean someone, Asher.
Hello, I am Asher, and what's the next question?
Expectations for attending this class, for making the most important decision thus far in your life.
My dad told me to
All right, awesome.
So the expectation is that you would.
Hey, Noah. Hey. Thanks for coming, bud. Good to see you.
No, what's your expectation for class? What do you want Matt to teach you?
I like men.
What?
I like men.
We talk about how you love the men.
I just learned sex.
You just learned about sex.
You're good. Yeah, you've come to the right spot, Noah.
I'm with Noah.
Good.
Craig Silva, and don't have a specific expectation other than just be open for what this class might offer and this freedom and in today's economy, so to speak.
My name's Chuck, and my expectation is that I learn a little bit more how to avoid certain triggers of my life that create lustful thoughts in my mind. And pray that the Holy Spirit works that out in me.
Awesome. I'm Matt, and my expectations are that we see an enormous amount of freedom that's taken from this, that we can claw back the things that the enemy has stolen from us as men, and that we'd truly be, we'll talk about this a little bit, men of valor is my hope and expectation.
And my name is Brian, and my father told me I should attend also. Yeah, for spiritual enlightenment.
Father God,
right? Things Matt just said.
So. My name's Ted, and I think there are very few spaces and situations where men can come together today and talk about what it means to be men, and what better way to do that than through connection to Scripture.
Amen.
I'm Ty. My expectation for being here is to see, I think, some additional layers to community being built and developed that draw us into closer relationship with one another, in addition to Christ, so that we have one another to rely on and go to for support and encouragement.
Justice and expectations, and hopefully to learn some stuff.
Expecting more accountability between everybody and all my family. I think that's a very good pointers to learn. But I think without transparency and accountability, then we're all just alone fighting that challenge. And I'm just really thankful the church has put on a class like this, because we all know that it's not really talked about much, and it's the number one problem that every man deals with. So it's like, it's almost like the hidden little problem. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Everybody deals with, doesn't matter who you are. So I think it's great that we're all talking about it. Thank you for putting it on.
Yeah. It's Mike. I'm here. I'll want to go Ty just to fellowship with them. Just to learn and, you know, deepen the roots to freedom and liberty through Christ, and forget the shame part. And all those other practical items like transparency and accountability. Mush pot.
Yeah, there's a seat down there.
Hey, now follow me. My name is Drake, for those of you that don't know me. My expectations for this class is to, as a young man coming into more involvement in the church, have a better understanding of sexual purity, and to be able to come into leadership and to help guide others in my own testimony of being sexually pure, and just to get a better grasp of this, like you guys are saying, this unspoken thing that almost everyone like struggles with, just needs to be put into the light more than it is.
Mm-hmm. I'm Alan Shear, and I cheated a little bit. I have the book and I read some. So, my expectation. Man, that's never happened before. So, my expectation is I really want to be a part of the men, the body of men, that we have here, and the large body of Christ. Victorious, completely victorious, to take this demon and choke him out. You know what I mean? It's reading the beginning part of the book, it's just an onslaught. You know, not for the church, it's an onslaught. And I want to be a part of looking it up.
I'm Nathan Miller, and My expectation for this course is to better understand what it means to walk in God's standard for a purity.
That is something.
Oh, yeah, you did. What's your name and your expectations of joining us? Because it, for Brent's, you guys have made the best and hardest decision of your life. Where's your dad?
Up to this
point. Up until this point.
Are you guys
coming? Don't. Yeah, there you are. I'm looking all around. You're right in front of me, man. Yeah, totally gone. I think it's the blue. It just kind of. Yeah, I was actually looking at your son.
So I'm just Josiah Brenton. I didn't hear about this until today. And I have some expectations of being able to conquer my my addictions that I've had in the past. That would be great.
I'm Nick Matahu, and my expectations for this class is to just have a greater understanding of what biblical purity is. So,
my name is Josh Keith, and I'm here to be further equipped in the fight against sexual morality, as well as to learn how to equip other men in that, so that we can pull people out of darkness and put them toward Christ, and also for the relationship and the accountability, and because Matt told me. And I'll.
Jason, and I've always wanted to come to a Tuesday night class, and this is going to be the first one I could make it to in all these years, and so I'm glad it's a good topic, but hopefully this will be nice to learn and interpret.
I'm Kyle. Expectation wise, one just biased main thing is dealing with myself on things, and then also to the is the secondary and the main or secondary main thing is more working to better equip myself to lead my son. That's for me, so he can avoid the pitfalls.
Expectation is to learn how to address this topic so it's not taboo anymore. You can actually find victory with that.
I'm Elijah, and my expectation is just to come and be able to, you know, experience more. It's like be around people who are talking about this and have victory.
I'm Steve Miller, and based on the title of the class, Remaining Faithful, my expectation was just, you know, to be more true and faithful in thought and words and actions in my life to God. So that's
good. My name is Levi, and I also have no idea about this class until this morning. But my expectations are just diving into the Word of God, coming closer to God.
My name is Tyler. I had no idea about this class until about an hour ago. So I have no expectations.
God's got to have something in store for you guys.
Mm-hmm. All right.
We'll wait for that testimony.
Mm-hmm. One more. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just introduce yourself. Oh, yeah, you're the last one.
All right. Yeah, so I'm Jason Brent. These are my sons. I have the gift of faith. God has made that clear in my life. And so it's natural for me to believe, and it is my expectation that a revival will start in some measure by the men in this church choking out the demon, as you put it, and becoming the children of God and the leaders that we are capable of being and that we're called to be. And I believe it with all of my heart that we can all do it, and not one of us will be left behind.
Mm-hmm. Well, our hope then is to meet every one of those 26 expectations. And I think it is quite doable. in it. So have faith that we can tackle all this. So the beginning topic of this is, like you said, as many of you mentioned, that this is a topic specifically we're going to be dealing with the addiction to pornography. Now, this topic and the lessons that we're going to be learning out of this doesn't necessarily have to be if you're struggling, if you're not struggling with pornography, doesn't mean that, you know, this class is not for you. It's because this issue, and we'll talk about it. Again, this is just a quick intro. It's there's a tsunami coming, hitting the church. We have all the young men, the early teens and 20s, who are going to be the future leaders of the church, who are caught in this. And they are the next generation that will be leading the bride. And it's just going to make the bride of Christ impotent if we can't deal with this. So yeah, it's impacting 93% of churches, they say, with only about 6% even having anything to do with it. And us as elders have realized, wow, this is a big issue that's impacting the body, not only just for the future, but for us today, of trying to deal with it. So that's kind of what we're been going on. And like I said, if it's not a particular issue for you, this is something that you can be trained in to understand and help those that are struggling with it. Again, it doesn't have to be just pornography. It could be lust. It could be gambling. It could be alcohol. It could be drugs. I mean, you name whatever it is that you're addicted to. Because we're going to look at this, and the idea of all this is that this struggle that we have is not just a struggle. It is an addiction. And that's why we're having such a hard time trying to overcome this thing. And so we're going to be taking a look at it more along the lines of trying to set your kind of level set this, is of trying to deal with someone who's addicted to meth or to heroin or cocaine, whatever it is, pick your favorite drug. That's kind of the same mindset that's going to be needed in order to deal with this, because everything else that we do, and I'll talk about briefly too, everything else is just a behavioral bonification, which is just a slap a Band-Aid on it and I'll try better next time. And we're just wondering why in the world do we keep screwing up all the time, over and over and over. Why can't I beat this thing? So hopefully, yeah, we'll have some tools. We'll have some means of continuing on in victory. The 6-week class, we're just going to scratch the surface on this. Because any true recovery type program is a much longer time frame in light of 90 days plus a year. So this is just our initial dipping our toe into this topic, kind of setting some foundation ideas and truths on it so that we can take this and push forward as a church to move and get and be prepared and to help deal with this. So that's kind of the initial outlook on this. And so it's going to be tough. We're going to ask, hopefully, are you guys making the choice to come to this class? You may not even have known what this class was all about.
Surprise!
Like I said, is the biggest and hardest decision you've made thus far in your life, to stand up and to be talking about these things, because like has been mentioned around the room, this is a very taboo subject. No one talks about the elephant in the room. No one talks about what's happening in the quiet places of our hearts and the minds when we're home or wherever we may be. And so our hope and is that we be able to equip us, train us, so that we can do the work that God has called us to do. So we're not being hindered and caught on, buried by the weights of shame, of sin, of anger, name it. Whatever it is that God is pulling you out to, or whatever that sin is pulling you out of. So Patrick, thanks for coming. Can you sing us "On a Little Teapot"? No, I'm just kidding. We got a place for you.
We got room down here too if you need a table.
Yeah, you get the special chair. So how many of you have the church or the planning center or church center app on your phone? Almost everybody. Does everyone else that doesn't have it, do you not have a cell phone? Okay. Because we want to use this particular app for communication. It's all within one place. We can post resources, share things, we can message in it. And so if you haven't, I would like to encourage you to go to your favorite app store and look for Church Center and then create an account in there. For those of you that already have Church Center, if you go into groups, you should see one that's called Group Men's Group. It has a picture of 2 Timothy on it. And if you click on that, we should see the message that I just sent out. Hey, it's week 1 of 6 events, all of the 6 weeks that we have the time. And then the third tab is resources. So I've included a couple things in here that I'll talk about as we go through here. So I'll just take a few moments for those to catch up while we get that.
Can't find it. This is 1 of 6.
Yeah, that's the message at the very beginning. Huh? Oh, that's just messages. And then if you go, there's another tab that says events. Yeah, you can sign in too, I think. If I set it up. We may have to. Let me look at members. Oh, add. Hold on, yeah, I got a couple of requests, so let me send these.
Is it a check-in request?
We can't find the page. Oh, it's an operator error. I know. Yeah, it should be under groups and small groups. It should be under my. No, I don't. Let's see. Ask the technical guru. Joe might know.
I registered for confirmation.
So it'll take a couple hours for it to.
You guys are going quick. I'm adding the group to show me, brother.
Okay. Yeah, it's not allowing me to add. I can't say it because I can't find it.
That's what Alan's doing that.
Some of you guys like Kyle Parker.
They
need to register. I haven't been able to add you so far, Joe. You might be
there. So,
that's why.
Okay, Joe's working on the technical details. Thanks, Joe. See, I thought this was a nice, and you know, I work in technology, so I just kind of assumed that this would work very well. Of course,
I'll bet you the window.
It's just a little small thing. Assuming, yeah, right. let's see if I can edit. So Brian's having an issue because he's got just Cameron Park. Oh. Ooh, there's a barcode in his hands.
What do you got, man?
Faithfulness is the women's one. Remaining faithful?
She's got to be invited. Why it's not coming up. Did you register for the class?
Oh, just
register.
Oh, membership. Hey, Alan, we got a membership request.
Yeah, what about membership request? Yeah.
Yeah, it isn't for Ted.
We got that here too with Jason.
Membership request?
Theodore.
You know, I wonder if it's because it's listed as a private group. Thanks for your patience, guys, as we work out the technical difficulties. All right, we got it to work.
I'm already part of it.
Okay.
I've just never done that.
Jason Brent.
Okay, he registered, so he's going to. You were adding him?
He did it just now.
Yeah. Okay.
That's fast.
Joe's running around letting him kill our
code. Yeah. Is anyone else having issues with it?
Maybe just
issues with the application.
That makes sense.
All right. So that's what we're going to try to do for that. We have the handouts and other links in here. So what I put in there is today's handout. For those of you that prefer a hard copy, I do have a limited amount. So if we need, we can email it to you if you need it or would like it rather afterwards. Yeah, that'd be perfect. Because I know we have, I think, so this is one of the joys of having the initial online registrations, that we know how many people that we have for classes, so we can print out things. But I think it worked out well. We can utilize technology to its best.
Did you get Jason, Alan? You did get Jason?
Yeah, I had Jason. I think really? It takes a minute because I looked at members.
Yeah.
And then before we're doing it, and asked me to take roll or whatever, so I took roll.
Oh, do you want one of the hard copies? Yeah, give him one of the hard copies just in case.
It's extra. It's like a time around.
Oh, good. We got extras. Oh, yeah, look at that. Scan it to check it in. Oh, you know what? It must be if we have the system set up to scan, which is interesting. Perfect. Need a pen? Everyone got your notes? You don't need to have a pen? Oh, we have pens. We're going to pass those around.
Oh, I'd love to pass these.
Perfect. All right, awesome. So that. Yeah, so make sure you turn your notifications on for the Zap, so that when we post things and upload things, you guys will have access to it and can get it readily. Within the group resources, I have made available, of course, the week one handout that you have in front of you. There's also an app. If you choose to use it, it's not going to be required for the class, but it might be something that we look at in the future of using as the Freedom Fights app. And what it does, it doesn't necessarily track your internet usage per se, because I just actually just found out about the app this afternoon. But what it does allow you to do is that if you start kind of having these feelings and senses of, oh man, I'm going to screw up, you can click a button and say, hey, notify my accountability partner. This isn't going well. I need some help. I need some prayer. And we'll talk about some of the other tools and things that are available, but there's the Apple app for those of you with iPhones, of course, Android. We're going to kind of base this around this book called The Freedom Fight, written by a fellow by the name of Ted Schimmer, I think is how you pronounce that. And it's just not just some kind of random dude. He is graduated with his master's from Dallas Theological Seminary. He's trained certified sex addiction therapist and pastoral sex addiction professional. He got his training through the International Institute for Trauma and Addiction Professionals. And so he knows this stuff. And so this isn't just kind of, it is a relatively new book. I believe it came out in, 2020. So just last year. And through a bunch of different events that have happened, we came across this, and I think it's just outstanding. The material that he has is going to be covering, the first part of the book is looking at a lot of horrendous and sad statistics, and then he starts talking a bit into how our brain actually works and why is it that specifically why pornography is an addiction, and how and why our brain gets wired in that way and triggers us in certain ways. And then his last half of his book is all the theological aspects and the practical aspects tied into it. So we're not going to be able to cover everything in this book. It's 340 pages long. But it's just, like I said, we're just scratching the surface in this. This is our first valiant attempt to help get us to defeat this sin and defeat this addiction and to equip us so that we will become men of honor, of valor. So yeah, I know the name and the title of the class was a bit, you know, misleading. It was kind of hidden for that way, kind of on purpose, because I didn't want to have it get people turned away. I was like, well, you know, like the big elephant in the room we've talked about. Yeah, I got this issue with pornography, but I don't want to deal with it. And if we put it in the title, it's not going to allow a lot of people to be freedom, their freedom to come, because of the issues that are all tied in with pornography, with this, the shame and the anger and the bitterness. And we get that. So we're going to be talking about that, addressing that as we go through here. So in your handouts, let's see. If you turn to page 2 for the class schedule, this is kind of just give us a quick overview of kind of what to expect the next 6 weeks. So obviously this week I'm kicking it off, then I'll be on next week. I do work for Sutter Health. My day job is working for Sutter Health in IT. I'm on call this week. So if my phone goes off and beeps and I kind of slide up for a second, just talk amongst yourselves and, you know, solve the world's problems. No. Yeah. But hopefully that won't go off. And then I'll be teaching next week. Chuck, third week. Alan, Shira will be doing the 4th. Joe, the 5th. And then we're going to have Chris Swobrick come in and probably some others coming in to talk about their experience and how they've walked through this and came through in victory. And just, again, just provide encouragement for us all. So our intent, again, is to continue with this, not just start it in 6 weeks and say, hey, by October 22nd, 26th, we're done. No, no one's going to be fixed by that time. Yeah, right. Yeah, we wouldn't have even scratched the surface of sobriety in that sense.
But one of the biggest things, too, is you'll be better equipped going through this, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's the idea too.
Yeah, so it's the hope that we each get a bunch of tools that we can use with ourselves, with our kids, with those in amongst the church, with our friends, and those that are dealing with that. So in your handout, in my handouts, for if you've been in any of my classes, I love using Calvin and Hobbes. I think they can kind of point to a lot of different theological concepts and kind of point us in that direction, even though Patterson or Watterson rather we don't think he is a believer, but he does raise a lot of interesting theological questions in a lot of his cartoons, so they're quite fun. So if Calvin, of course, sitting on his sled ready to go down the hill, and he says in his brain, go ahead, you'll miss all those trees, you can do it, you'll stop before you go to the ledge at the bottom, you won't go into the pond, besides the ice is probably real thick anyway, go ahead. I'm saying my brain is trying to kill me. And that's exactly, specifically as it relates to pornography and the addiction there. And it is your brain that's trying to kill you. It is your brain that's been wired in such a sense that it is causing absolute mayhem in your life, trying to deal specifically with this addiction or any addiction that we're dealing with in that. So, we good?
Yeah.
All right. So I want to begin with, so oftentimes, and it's, again, it's not required for this class, but again, just more tools to deal with, to work with, or have in your side pocket as a weapon against the enemy, as memory verse for the week. Romans 6, 10 through 11, you have it there in the front. For death, he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So because of that, therefore, you must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Meaning the fact that you are no longer under the power of sin. As a believer in Jesus Christ, and I pray to God that you have all accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you haven't, I'd love to talk with you and have a conversation with you afterwards about how you can have Christ, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, as your Lord and Savior. Because without it, this class is just going to be another, like a regular 12-step program. Some good ideas, some good tools, but it won't have any lasting impact. It's not going to have a lasting impact for the eternal aspect of how we, as those who follow Jesus Christ, as kingdom dwellers, right? We have a future kingdom that we are serving, that we get glimpses of here on this earth, but don't see the full realization yet until we are in the the very face of Christ and freed from the very presence of sin. And I can't even begin to imagine what that'd be like, just being completely free from the very presence of any sin. And so that's part of our hope, right? We have that particular hope in that. So this is going to be a Bible study. So we'll be talking about a lot of scriptures. So I hope that you brought your Bibles, brought your notes, got your pens, got your scriptures, got your devices. I want to take a look at, as we start, in Romans chapter 7. And I don't think I put this on your notes, so I do apologize. I want to begin with this passage. Let me pull it up here. I could. Romans chapter 7, starting in verse, let's look at 16. Because oftentimes, and I've even found this in my own life, is that when you start talking about a particular sin and you get done with talking about it, guess what happens afterwards? Yeah, it's weird how your brain and your body's like, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and do that because we just got done talking about it. And so the hope here is what Paul is providing us with, a bit of hope and encouragement in this. So yeah, Romans chapter 7, like for you guys to get there. Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 16. Well, actually, let's go. Yeah, let's start in 15. So Romans 7, you can do the whole chapter, but for time's sake, let's start in 7:15. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. Here the great, mighty Apostle Paul is still struggling and having issues with fighting sin because he's not yet freed from the very presence of sin. He's fighting the power of sin. That's what our whole walk is, right? Our sanctification, our walk with the Lord, is trying to deal with the power of sin in our lives. So here Paul even is mentioning that he struggles with it. Now, in 16, if I do what I do not, I agree with the law that it is good. His conscience is attesting to the fact that what the scripture is telling him not to do actually is good, and it is true, and it is right. And therefore, we should be following, and we must really obey what scripture is telling us and commanding us to do, because it is good. So verse 17, so now it's no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells within me. He's not giving us license to continue to sin. It's acknowledging the fact that there is a war that we are fighting, and we need to be aware of it and be prepared for this onslaught. Because I guarantee you, just because we're talking about this particular topic, it's going to hit every single one of us after we leave tonight. You're going to probably have even a stronger attack from the enemy. Your brain's going to be wanting to get fed. But to be aware of that, be prepared, be men of valor. Continuing on in verse, going on to 18:19, where we're at here. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what's right, but I don't have the ability to carry it out. In and of ourselves, if you try to fight this battle on your own, in isolation, number one, you're going to fail. You try to fight this without the power and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you're going to fail. So like we've talked about, some of the expectations, we've talked about the hope of community and getting to know one another, be able to fight this together. I'm not going to force it because I don't think that's the right thing to do. But I would strongly encourage you to get some of these guys around you, their phone numbers, so that you can call them, and then even in this evening, if you run into issues of being tempted, that, hey, call them, text them, hey, pray for me, I've got some issue going on. It's not going to be a requirement, not yet. We may end up doing that, as we progress, but I don't think that's appropriate at the very get-go, because one, we're just getting to know one another, right? But it will be imperative that we do that. Accountability is going to be one of the greatest assets and greatest tools that we have for one another. 19, for I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Verse 20, now if I do what I do not want, it's no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells with me. So I find it to be a law then when I do right, evil lies close at hand. And that is exactly what's going to happen. You start recognizing the fact, the battle that you're preparing for, you're going to start seeing the enemy rear his head up more and more often. So just be prepared, be ready, be vigilant. Good?
Oh, yes.
All right.
Verse 25.
All right. You want to keep going down? Yeah, we can keep going down, man. I mean, yeah. Wretched man that I am, verse 24. Who will deliver me from this body of death? But 25, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Again, he's not making an excuse for us to sin. Just, it's just because my flesh is doing it. It's okay. No, Paul doesn't make any excuse or any means to allow for sin to take place in our lives. Let's jump over up, down, and around. But before I go there, I got a note here too, that this sin that's in us, we've kind of talked about it. Some people tell that it's like, it's a demon, that it's an elephant in the room. We should consider it. And again, maybe another tool, another way of dealing with it is dealing it with it as a wicked squatter that dwells in your brain. Because again, a lot of this is a result of our brain getting rewired and rechanged and reformatted, if you would, to allow this particular sin, this addiction. And so when I say pornography, that's our focus here, right? But this can be applied to replace pornography with whatever addiction or issue that you're dealing with, right? So this wicked squatter that's dwelling within Paul needs to be just kicked out. We have to recognize that this is a squatter. He has absolutely no right to be dwelling in us as believers in Jesus Christ. And it's this intruder that's in here, right? That's coming, that we've allowed. We've opened the door to allow it to come in and sit and now take up residence in our brain. And now we have to deal with it and do the hard work, because this is not, brothers, this isn't going to be easy. And again, like I said, it's going to require us community, and it's going to require us to really deal with the crap that's going on within us and be willing to mention it, talk about it. So with that, let's jump to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 17. Do I have that? Nope, don't have that in my notes either. This all fits within the intro. Three notes. So it's Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 17. So if my Bible version isn't quite the same as yours, I'm reading from the English Standard Version, the best version. I mean, no, it's not the best version. It's my preferred version. So it might sound a little bit different than yours. So Ephesians chapter 5, 15, 17. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So this verse 16, making the best use of time because the days are evil. We know that things are not getting any easier on this earth. We are starting to see what scripture talks about is the restrainer. His hand in his presence is starting to be lifted ever so slightly. The restrainer, which meaning that's going to be releasing just horrendous amounts of evil and destruction and persecution, the likes of which we have never seen on this earth, likes of which we're getting glimpses of in currently even in Afghanistan now, where the Taliban are persecuting the church. The church is absolutely growing, and its church is on fire in Afghanistan. Second largest underground church in the world at this moment, led a bit by women, which is quite surprising, but very, very exciting. But the days are getting evil. And if we are not able to, if we're being hindered by this sin, how are we going to be able to survive the days when it becomes even far more difficult than it is now?
Yeah.
You know, when they start, they got a list, or you get a phone call, hey, I know you're a believer in Jesus Christ, I'm coming to get you now. Are you going to have the ability to have the strength and faith and determination to say, no, I stand on the blood of Jesus Christ? Or are you going to run and capitulate and fall into your sin as a time of, oh, I'm scared, I'm uncomfortable, I need a release, I need to, take care of my own feelings. We need to get prepared for battle. And I'll encourage you, and I'll put it on here once Jody's sermon is from Sunday is uploaded. So I'll throw Jody Romero's sermon if you haven't gotten a chance to listen to it. Oh man,
yeah,
so good. And it speaks exactly to what we're dealing with here. So we are to walk carefully. Note here that we are not called to not be in the world, but we are called to be walking wisely, being aware and addressing the things in our life, those hindrances, because the warfare that's going on, warfare for your souls, warfare for your attention, for your family. And we know that there's no way of saving this sinking ship of the earth. The earth is going to be renewed. There'll be a new heavens and a new earth. I hope it comes sooner rather than later. But the only hope that we have, obviously, is in Jesus Christ. So therefore, don't be foolish in verse 17, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Again, going back to verse 15, he's saying, therefore, should be, don't become foolish in your ways and in your walk. And it's in the present imperative that we are to do this. This is an action that demands a result. So us identifying this and starting this journey that we're going to be doing tonight is that first step.
That's good.
So the big question then, in relation to all of this, how do we understand what is the will of God in verse 17? To understand what is the will of God. How do we understand that? That is in Romans 6:10. Yeah, you read the word.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's not some big, crazy, esoteric, out there thing that you got to be reaching. Oh, God, what is the will? What's your will for us?
Yeah, I was going to go down that road too. If you feel guilty about it,
yeah.
I don't know. It's not the will of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so it is very easy. It talks about in Matthew where it says, what is the will of God? Well, not that any of us should perish. Not any one of the little ones should perish. What is the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God? Romans 12, right? Our theme verse as a church for the whole year. And hopefully we've been massaging and working that in, of understanding that it's not some esoteric thing that you have to go find some guru at the top of Mount Tulak and Tahoe to climb and ask, oh, what is the will? We
not,
know
not to conform to the world.
Yeah.
But to bring glory to him.
Amen. Right.
Mm-hmm. So
and we know what it means to conform to the world. It's sin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A lot of times.
Yeah, so like I said before, looking at this particular issue of pornography, it's we've been hearing bells, the warning bells of the tsunami that's coming. The wave is about to crash, and it's going to impact the church like the weather. And we've already, as I'm sure each of us, feel it as well. That crashing sense of just an overwhelming sense of guilt, shame, anger, lack of faith. But this wave, so this is the point. We're hearing these bells ringing, and now we're working on trying to come up with an action to recognize, to reach this higher ground, get out of the wave, and grab as many people as we can and pull them out of harm's way. Because this issue of pornography specifically relates so much to our physical lives, our emotional lives, our spiritual aspects, and just even relationship amongst one another, you know, or even your relationships with the opposite sex and how you view them even each and every day, right? Are you able to look a woman in her eyes, or are you having to divert them any time a woman comes by? I mean, that lack, the attack on this on the church with against our sisters in the body of Christ. I mean, that it talks about, I mean, talk about a way of bringing disunity. I mean, it's just, I sent to the elders, the other Joe and Chuck yesterday, it was last night, the fact that with the Taliban recently reinstituting Sharia law and making requirements for them to cover up their entire bodies, to sell their women off, to marry them off, get rid of your daughters, get rid of your women who aren't married yet. And it's the complete opposite pendulum swing as a reaction of trying to appear holy, right? Whereas we kind of get this weird spot of, well, I can't relate with you, I can't actually look at you, I can't put my hand on your shoulder because I've sexualized, everything's become so sexualized in my life, right? I can't pray for you, sister, sorry, I need more people around because, well, that would look weird, you know? And it's such a, it's really such a shame that this has impacted us to that extent, that we can't really look at our sister, or the women amongst us in our church or around as truly sisters of Christ, who are fighting the same battle. We're going to talk about it a bit later too, is that this issue doesn't just impact men. There is such an alarming rise of women who are dealing with the addiction of pornography as well. And it's just, again, it's just the enemy's tactic to bring the church and make her impotent. So again, our hope and prayer through the study is it's just going to be a start. So in the past, the church as a whole has traditionally just addressed this issue with behavior modification. Well, you know, you come and you confess, say, to a leader or someone or a brother, saying, hey, man, I'm really struggling with this issue. Can you help me? Well, memorize these three verses, say this prayer, be blessed. I mean, it's nice. It's good. You're slapping a Band-Aid on a flesh wound, you know, one that has gangrene in it. You know, we're just, oh, let's put a little Band-Aid on and hopefully that's not going to do it. So again, this is going to take a much longer process for us as we go through this. Not that I'm saying that prayer and reading Bible are bad. That's not what I'm saying. But just stating that when someone comes to you or even in yourself who's dealing with this issue, it's not going to solve it. It's not going to, and it does, it's not going to come overnight. Sobriety will not last with behavior modifications. Mere abstinence, meaning complete stop, is just stopping the behavior. That's just another behavior modification. Our hope through this is that we can delve into and hopefully identify the roots in each of our lives that is causing or has caused this particular issue, right? What is it that's happened to, or what is it that we believe? What are the lies that we believe that makes us and has wired us in such a way that we've allowed the sin to squat in our lives? So again, our hope is that we can touch on these things, recognize them, address them, and then move on in health and in victory through the power of Christ. So has anyone experienced that, where you're trying to deal and battle with sin in your life and someone just kind of comes up and says, well, hey, here, brother, I'll pray for you, or I'll give you a couple of verses and send you on your way? Has anyone had experience in that, and has that been effective? And if not, why not? Yeah.
I mean, it helps for a time, and you get like that motivation when you actually
have contact with somebody and you're open about it. The freedom that is brought from professors to somebody. But it's something that needs to be a lot more, you need to be a lot more actively involved in, especially with accountability. It helps, but it's never that effective for me until I got like legitimate accountability with guys who are able to do something to do.
It's an easy thing to do. It's like, since it's been so unspoken, like a lot of people don't know how to address the situation. Because either maybe, they struggle with it themselves, or they just aren't, equipped properly to either A, hand them off to somebody that knows what they're doing, or get the education for themselves. And I think it's like the key part of it is like, what Josh was saying, it helps for time, but like Paul says, it's, he wants to stop, he wants to not sin at all, but it's not him, he can't control that in him, the sin is there, and, we need divine intervention of God, and, to have an understanding, and to get it, convicted, from swatting in your brain, that takes time, little band-aids don't work.
Yeah. I would add that, we get kind of numbed and blinded to God's standard. We will twist things to our standard. In regards to pornography, we're willing to accept 90-95% good. That's me. That's not God's standard. God's standard is 100%. If we don't spend time renewing our mind, focusing or even meditating on God's standard, we'll even lower it so much so that as men we may go, oh, that's unattainable, that's just not ridiculous, that's just not achievable, that's not possible. Well, that's not true. No one thought it was possible to break a 4-minute mile, Roger Bannister did it. No one thought it was possible for this, no one thought it was possible to break 10 seconds in 100-yard dash, but it's done. So we have to raise the standard rather than we have to conform by God rather than settle for what our best is. We're not the measure.
I think we also have to recognize that when it says renewing of the mind, using the mind and the brain, that dopamine that's released in your brain is something that's altering your brain. So when your brain is addicted to something that you've watched or experienced, and the renewing of the mind is giving your brain enough time to heal, constantly renewing your mind and allowing that dopamine addiction to go away, it's on a physiological level, leaving spirituality completely out of it. Like on a physiological level, you got to get to that point. And so the occasional, it helps for a little while, but the dopamine brings you back. We have to recognize there's a battle on both going on.
Yeah. And so part of this, and he addressed in the book, and my hope is that we can get at least address some of that tonight too, before we end. It's so vital. We'll hold on to that nugget. It's very true. And we'll, hopefully we'll get to dealing with that, because if we don't recognize it and we fly through this blindly, this isn't going to work.
Then there's a cycle that we create a feeling of more failures.
Yeah.
And then that brings us to this point of repentance, but then we fail again. And then that brings us to sin. And then this vicious cycle just chases us through life. And we feel worthless. And when you feel worthless, how strong are you to battle the thing next time?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so as with that, to kind of deal with the kind of touch upon real briefly on the dopamine aspect and how it's hitting us, it's so very similar to drug dealing or drug dealers, the porn industry is. Who, if you're familiar with drug dealers, I've only known one on TV, but I haven't known one in person, but the story, the stereotypical is they go out and they give you a little bit for free at first, right? And then you get, oh man, this is great. And you get hooked on it. And then you're getting wanting more. That's exactly what the plan is that the enemy has done with this, specifically with porn. The book talks about that during COVID and the lockdown that we did, that we tried to help stave off, you know, the virus. Hey, let's bring this down. We thought we were doing the right thing, right? Putting people in homes, it seemed like the right, appropriate thing to do. But what happens? You're stuck at home. You're stuck at home alone. And porn use rose 12% in just that short time. Just in this last lockdown. And in that, the ultimate drug dealer of porn, the provider of porn in the world, offered its premium services free for 30 days during this time. 24% increase of porn usage all the way up into and through that period of time. Getting hooked on it. Your brain now is wired in such a way, I've got this, I need this, I gotta have it, right? And you're constantly thinking about it. And what does it do? Well, it creates just an awful, vicious sin, or sin cycle, as you said. So let's take a look at Galatians 6, 7, 8, and 9. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7, 8, and 9. Yeah, Galatians 6, 7, 8, 9. Do not be deceived. This is just like what Alan was talking about, the standard. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, he will also reap. For the one who sows in his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. This is going to be a battle. This is something that the encouragement for all of us is to continue on in this fight, to be encouraged that when you look around you, that you've got brothers now that are going to be continuing on in this fight. You're not alone. So just another encouragement to reach out, ask you someone in here that you don't have the number of and get it. So again, so you have someone to talk with and to communicate and to have that relationship in it. But so in this, how does this verse apply to our consumption and intake use of pornography? So let me phrase it again. So out of Galatians 6, 7, 8, 9, how does this verse apply to the consumption and use of pornography? There's a consequence.
Yeah, if you plant corn, corn grows. You know, if you plant porn, porn grows your life, death.
Mm.
I mean, it's your death. It wreaks havoc over everything. You can't be a good father. You can't be a good husband. You can't be a good brother. You can't be a good friend. You can't. I would, if you're hooked on porn, it's going to smash every part of your life spiritually, physically. It'll mess up your sex life with your wife. It's all in the book, too. He talks in depth about it. It's a destroyer. It's a devourer. Porn is a devourer.
Mm-hmm.
And it devours the mind. The mouth devours your psyche. It takes chunks. Bigger than a great white. Mm-hmm. Like alligators. Slew of alligators ripping you apart.
Mm-hmm.
The one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. And you look at the epidemic in young men, early 20s, late teens, that are really dealing with erectile dysfunction and just completely skewed ideas of what sex even is and what a woman is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And
Yeah, I was going to mention that a little bit earlier or later, but yeah, perfect segue into it. But they've now coined a term that's called PIED, which is called porn-induced erectile dysfunction. And guess who's getting it? 20 and 30-year-olds. Yeah, they're now saying at least 33% of men that are coming into the doctors with this are saying, hey, I've got an issue. Young guys who are not able to have, we're going to be frank, this is men, we're talking about pornography, but they're not able to have an erection.
And that has nothing to do with an enlarged prostate either at 20 years old.
That's part of the heart.
Yeah. What's that? Exactly. Yeah. That's what you should be saying.
Yeah.
It ain't prostate.
You know, this isn't one of these kind of things that like throw at you to like scare you into conformity, but being aware of, hey, what you're going to sow in your life, you're going to reap it. And it's going to come back at you 10, 100,000 fold.
In ways you never saw coming.
Never. Right. And so, you know, PIED, so porn-induced erectile dysfunction, can be cured. It can. But only... Exactly. But it's not just a one-time deal. It's a continual, it'll take you at least, they're saying 90 days of complete abstinence for you to even get possibly that kind of function back. And so we see this over again and over again. You know, we try to quit something. We try, you know, to quit this sin or that sin, and we can't. It's because it's an addiction. And it has grabbed, like Alan said, it grabbed hold of you and tearing you apart, tearing us apart, like a bunch of alligators ripping us out. Crocodiles, sorry. Wrong one, yeah.
Gator,
I get you.
So
the good news. Hey, man, every day, the good news is that Jesus Christ is alive today. And he's coming back. So every time that you don't have the good news, you'll yell out, Maranatha. It's a wonderful, beautiful word, Hebrew word, Lord, come back quickly. Or if you're in Aramaic, you say Maranatha, meaning the Lord has already come. Both of those are good news. All right. So Maranatha, Lord, come quickly. That should be our yell and yelp of praise. Some more, yeah.
I'm trying to figure out how to condense this because I have too much to say, but I just want to connect some dots and share in my own experience. Everything that is, all the scriptures that have been brought up so far kind of touch on my story. When I was Joe's age, you know, in my teens, I was completely owned by lust. It was my master. And, but it also touched on other areas of my life. And that's what I want to talk about. There was, you know, my greed and my coveting and my envy and my all my other things that I couldn't control either. And for me, it was this deep, strong desire, like Romans 7, to actually be who God wanted me to be. And the more I pushed, the more I tried, the worse the sin got. It was like adding fuel to the fire. And it was actually that Galatians 6 verse, after getting more and more depressed and more full of anxiety and more full of sin, that God like woke me up with that and made me realize, not only with lust but with everything, I, like Paul says, there's nothing good in my flesh. Like, I have no ability to be a righteous man, period. And then if you go into Romans 8, you know, it describes how to live by the Spirit. I didn't know how to do that then, but I knew how to cry out to God and say, you got to actually rescue me. And it was different for me in that moment. It was like sincere. Like, I had really, truly come to the very end of my rope. And it was only at that point that the Holy Spirit actually did enable me to overcome temptation and lust, you know, those kinds of things. And it's been that way ever since. And the victory does come not only with lust, but with all those other sins, I feel like, and I felt like sharing that.
Yeah.
But sorry.
No, no need to apologize. That's part of this. You know, we're not.
Yeah.
I don't want to be just a talking head. I want to try to encourage guys to share your stories. Because again, yeah, like Mike said, where's the hope? You're pounding on us all these bad news. And I've got some more bad news to share. But I think it's just to reiterate and just start describing the elephant that's sitting in our room. If as long as we can identify it and point it out, it's not going to be hidden anymore.
Well, I know you talked about the sit down, but obviously not new topics. They have their temples to sex, prostitution. Sure, we carry them around in our pocket. That makes it harder,
mm-hmm.
obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But there's, I like First Corinthians 6:11, where it says, "And such were some of you, but you were washed." And that's, I have that marked as the good news.
Mm, yeah.
That you were, people, I think, we have our hierarchy of sins, and a lot of these are just not ones we're willing to share with each other, and
mm-hmm.
so that's where we're going with the
mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's good.
That is precisely what we want to do, is to, wherever you try to put your sins and justify them in some kind of hierarchy, but irregardless of what they are, if you aren't struggling with porn, you're dealing with something else. We're all human beings. We're all warm-blooded males. Lust is going to be on there in the top two. So dealing with that is, being willing to be open and discuss. And the fact that there is no shame in this. I mean, that is exactly what the enemy wants us to do. It's exactly, we see what happened right with our first father, Adam. What was his first thing when he heard God walking in the cool of the morning in the garden? What was his first go-to? He hit himself. Shameful. Oh my gosh, what did I do? What's our first go-to? Oh, let's hide. Let's bury this thing. I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to share about it. So we don't have a very good starting point with our in our lineage in the flesh, right? But yeah, as Jay said, it attacks and it weaves itself into every aspect of our life. So in your notes, sin, any sin really, but specifically as it relates to pornography, sin leads a slow death for closeness to God and high levels of doubting his existence. I actually changed my note. So the high levels of doubting his existence. Oh, we can't? Oh. Oh, sorry. Oh, for the app. Okay, I'll make a note of that and see if there's a way to make it writable.
Make a document out of it.
Yeah. On the notes for church app. Oh yeah, you could do. Yeah, copy all, select all, copy and put into your notes. Good job.
He's a problem solver.
The next bit that he attacks is the slow death of marriages. They're stating now that the newest number, and this is again some more bad news, that porn usage result is 56% of divorces right now are as a result of porn usage. So not only do we have the epidemic of divorces right now in America or all the world that they, whatever awful number you say, over half, but then half of those, over half, is reason for, is because of porn usage. Your next one, slow death of healthy sexuality. Again, as we talked about with this, the PI, porn-induced erectile dysfunction, we'll talk about this a bit later too, is that you just become less and less satisfied with your spouse. You get less satisfied with healthy, God-ordained celebration of marriage. And then lastly, slow death of a heart willing to serve God. Because it is without seemingly fail that it being caught up in this decreases your desire and likelihood to want to serve God in the church specifically, or in any aspect of trying to serve him, because it got up in shame, got up in anger. Which one of these, or any of these, or all of these, do any of you guys find the most alarming?
I mean, it was the second one for me. It's seen to me just a high level of doubting the existence of God. That feels right when I hear it.
Yeah, so I think it seems to be pointing to with us trying to work through it and deal with the sin. And so, and we pray and ask God, God, heal me from it. Heal me from this. And 90%, if not more, God, out of his sovereignty, have no explanation other than it's his choice, chooses to not immediately rescue someone from this addiction, this issue. And so there's a tendency in that is to doubt, well, you don't say anything, God. Have you really cured? Do you answer my prayers? Are you even concerned about me? And so there's that drifting away, that slow death that kind of follows that, because you're not being immediately rescued from something that you put yourself in. It's the proverbial kind of story of, you know, that the water's arising and you're on the roof of your house. God, save me, save me. And some guy comes in a little rowboat, right? And he said, oh, no, I can't take that one. Storm's coming, the water's raising, the helicopter comes by. Oh, God, no, I don't need that. No, don't need that. Come by, you know, submarine comes by, you know, tries to get, no. And then finally he dies. And he's like, God, how come you didn't save me? I gave you three opportunities, three different tools and ways and means, but you chose not to take it. So I think it oftentimes, and this is an aside to that, and this is free too. The church, I'm speaking globally, but more specifically the Western church, I think as persecution comes and when things get tough, there's a lot of people who are going to fall away from the Lord, because their faith hasn't been grounded in him. They haven't understood his truths or his promises and haven't actually taken them. And so when we read about in the end, in Thessalonians, there talks about the great falling away, as the love of many will grow cold. That is precisely tied in, because we're asking for, you know, Santa Claus, Jesus, Santa Claus God, to give me what I want exactly and immediately. You know, God uses this whole process in our lives, the road of sanctification, right? He doesn't take away our troubles immediately. If he does, praise God, because it does happen. It's not the norm, right? Romans chapter 5, where it talks about, you know, suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope because of the love of Christ poured into our hearts through God. So, yeah, that's kind of a long-winded answer to your question, Ted.
I think also I'd add to that is a lot of people presuppose the existence of God hinges upon. That's not true. You are Savior. He suffered on the cross. So people fall away from the belief of God. God promises to deliver us through trials. He also promises that we'll mature through trials. Mm-hmm. Some of the trials, you're going to go through this. You grab the chicken by the wings now.
It's kind of interesting. It really is. Anything you want right now.
Yeah. That's why it's just growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's crazy when you think about how, it's fully blown up. 1992. Dial-up internet becomes mainstream for the first time in American homes. 1992, as a freshman in high school. 2005, broadband connections into homes surpassed dial-up. 2007, what came out in 2007?
iPhone.
The iPhone. Porn theater in a pocket. So they're saying, again, yeah, the explosion of this, because of the technology that's been used, now the enemy is used for his advantage. 95% of teenagers have access to a smartphone now, as compared to only 23% in 2011. The number is just staggering. And the one who, the producer, the dealer of porn, the most popular one, saying that 81% of their viewing is off of a cell phone. So again, yeah, the explosion of the stuff that's happening, that's going on. So again, the question is, and Mike alluded to it as well, how hard is it to break your cocaine addiction if you've got a small little bit, what do they call it, a gram, a nugget, whatever it is. I'm just looking to the authorities for what it's called. I have the right terminology. Yeah, whatever, you know, if you have that in your pocket and you're trying to break that addiction, is it going to be easy? And it may be at some point, you know, we take and say these things, sayonara, and get foot phones. You know, it may come to that. There are other ways and means that, you know, we'll be talking about through this program. There's one that's called the Wise Phone. I don't know if you've heard of that, where it's like a smartphone. Yeah, it's a Wise Phone. Yeah, it just doesn't have an internet connectivity. You can text, you can call, and you can do some other small things on it. But there are tools available, and hopefully, you know, we'll be able to gather some of these resources and things and provide us with so that we can, you know, have those right weapons for when the time comes. How are we doing? Normally, we take a break, and I know it's like 7:53. We good? You guys need to take a break? No? Keep going. Eat some more candy. I see that we've all gone through that pretty quick. That's good. It's good stuff.
I brought food over here.
Oh,
we
have
like muffins and.
Oh, there's some food. If you want to grab
treats.
Some.
There's treats.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So let's take a five minute break. Should in theory. Yeah, you should just be able to go and say it to.
But then can you write on it then?
In theory. Let's see, I don't know where your notes are. Oh, that's right there. I've never used that feature before. Okay. So.
Yeah, I mean, I got it, but I'm like, it's the same as if I went, it's online again. So. I try to copy it. Huh?
In your
Google Drive?
In your Google Drive.
You can get the share button. Maybe he's not.
Yeah, really. That's a good point, though. That's a real good point.
She knew.
What's the west side?
Something obvious there. Or it's on YouTube. So it's not like.
You can change this to eating. I think it's, yeah, Joe would know. I don't remember him.
Because I'm a recovering alcoholic, so I know about it.
From the old B Street address. B Street.
Yeah.
I need to fight or whatever. So. Anyway, yeah, it's interesting.
I got to use the example of old cartoon when we talked about grandpa.
Yeah.
Old cartoon, there's a little whisper.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there you
that's
go.
Not actually so far.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you go to the main building to the right. Oh, yeah, thanks. You have 2 minutes and 30 seconds. No. Delicious. Oh, man, good stuff. Yeah, I'll figure out a way to make it to write on it.
Something in September 25th, 2020.
There's technology means of doing that, Chuck.
Yeah.
I actually just posted it as people were going around introducing themselves to the handout and didn't think, oh, we might want to write down.
Yeah. Figured out.
I think I'm, yeah.
Is it a PDF?
Yeah, I think I just shared it as a PDF, I think is what I ended up doing. Not as a.
Can we have one of them copy?
Editable. No, you got two. I forgot to tell Kelly not to print out in color, but because there's a fancy graph in the back that came out.
copy
the notes.
I was too busy trying to figure out how to copy it on my phone.
Didn't hear you.
Hey, Matt.
I came into the class room, didn't look ahead what we're going to be good, and I said, I do have an expectation in the class now.
Yeah.
You're sitting right in front of me here, Ephesians. Ephesians 6:1.
Uh-huh.
Brothers, if indeed a man is overtaken in some transgression, you, the spiritual ones, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, watching out for yourself, lest you be tempted.
Yeah.
As a group, to be able to count on each other.
Yeah. It's imperative. Yeah, and it's sometimes difficult to do that in gentleness, you know.
Yeah.
You're like, dang it, just get it together, man. Pull yourself together.
I don't know. After your last class, I enjoy reading this a lot.
Oh, nice. Yeah, the Angelinier one. That's great.
I don't always, but sometimes I just like to look at it.
Yeah. Yeah, it can provide a little bit of insight and, oh, okay, I get what they're, what are you looking at? No, they're not. Wisconsin could barely win last week. They didn't even win last week. I don't know. They lost. Oh, no, they didn't. You're right. They didn't play last week. Man, that Penn State Auburn game was something. All right, grab your rat snacks. We've got 15 minutes. We're gonna. It did say go 8 to 8:15, but we'll go to 8:15 because we do want to provide some hope and some things to get home with us as we go. But before we do, habit and addiction. Just real quick, if you don't know, or if you want to write the differences down, a habit is just a custom, a routine, practice, pattern, or tradition. Versus an addiction is a fixation, an obsession, a dependence, enslavement, craving, compulsion. That's why they don't say porn is a habit, it's an addiction.
Can you go over those two one more time?
Yeah, habit is a custom. These are synonyms, right, to help us understand it. a habit is a custom or routine or practice. What's that? Habitual addiction, yeah, even worse. And then an addiction, synonyms would be a fixation, craving, or enslavement. And since as porn as being an addiction, this goes completely against the second commandment, Exodus 22. Don't take and put anything in front of me, says God. Anything that's taking the right place, rightful place that God has in our lives, we're going completely against his will. So being addicted to something is going, if we wanted to know what the will of God is dealing with and working through on the addiction. You may.
Especially for any of the younger guys that are in here. If you are wrestling, wondering if it's really an addiction or if it's just a habit. 1992 was when dial-up started. And what you guys don't know is that dial-up made a tone. And then there was this weird buzzing noise as it connected.
Sounds like an MRI machine.
Which they also don't understand. Anyway, to me, so you know, there was a point in the early 90s, that's when I first was exposed to pornography. There literally was a point when innocent, completely, purely innocent, I'm going to sit down and just like look up something for work. And that turned, you've heard of Pavlov's dog, if you're taking a psychology class, you ring a bell and the dog drools, because every time you rang the bell, you gave the dog food. Ring a bell, give it food, ring a bell, give it food, ring a bell, don't give it food, it still drooled. Why did it drool? Because the food was, the bell made, you understand, it associated the food with the bell, right? The sound of dial-up, when I was just going to do a research paper for work, started buzzing my brain, and I went, oh, this is not just like something that's dabbled, like it's impacting the brain. It's a habit. It's an addiction. Dangerous.
Yeah, if you haven't heard or seen Pavlov's dog's experiments, you can look up YouTube on it. And they just, as a for the testing, they put a little hole in the cheek with a little tube to be able to catch saliva. As Ty was saying, it would increase, and it even got to the point where if they just heard the scientist coming walking down the hallway, no food, nothing else, it starts salivating. Because it knows that there is going to be a reward. There's going to be a response to it. And it's just, yeah, so such a easy picture to grasp, just the awfulness.
That's interesting, because I chewed tobacco for 17 years, and I had the same kind of a habit, addiction type of a thing, where anytime I get near a piece of heavy equipment, I felt like that's what I was supposed to do. You know, I was supposed to get in there and spit. You know, and or after any, you know, I mean, anybody who's chewed or smoked or and have conquered that is probably sensing that same thing. But it was the same thing. I felt like that Pavlov's dog, because when I knew I was going to get ready to run a piece of equipment, my mouth started salivating. So it was interesting.
And especially for the young guys, you know, I think you're probably lying to each other or yourself the same way we all did, which is when I have a wife, it'll change. It's an addiction. So if you don't kill it now, you'll have to kill it later. Kill it now and don't let the damage be done.
Amen. Yeah. So that leads to this nice graph. Kelly, when I sent this to Kelly Thuring, I should have told her not to do it in color, but you get a nice color. This came out of the book, if you're wondering, page 43, put the context in it. It's not my own graph. The footnote there is because they didn't do this on humans. These are actually derived from testing on rats, other than the sex and the porn. But their tracing of porn on this graph is based on results of surveys they sent out. They computed it all and said, hey, this is how this actually works. And what this does, what it's showing us, is the amount of dopamine that is released in our brains when each of these take place. So the highest one that peaks is meth. You see that within hours, within less than an hour, meth peaks at its highest, and then the dopamine levels in the brain release quite, you know, slowly over time. The next highest one is sex. Comes up real high and then dwindles off. Cocaine, you see, goes really high up after a little bit and drops. But notice how they all fall off relatively quickly, within a couple of hours.
Sex is higher than cocaine? It looks so
easy. Yeah. No. It shoots up sooner than, yeah. Sex shoots up sooner in release of dopamine than cocaine. Peaks quicker and then dies off. Porn usage, the one highlighted in blue, rises almost to the same level as sex, but notice how the dopamine level continues on for hours. And just like with any drug use that you can get caught up into, it's okay. It starts off with just a small bit at first, and it just gives you that quick dopamine hit. But over time, that same amount isn't enough, and you need something more. Maybe you need something, maybe more, you know, harder to get that kick up and to get that same amount of release and stimuli. And what they've seen is that there is a study done, 1,500 men did a poll. 56% of them said their porn use became increasingly extreme or deviant within just a couple of years. And what happens is that you get caught up. It's not enough. And I'm talking about stuff like child pornography, looking up rape videos, stuff that you're like, what in the world? And you there, that's what this leads to. You think, well, just looking at a nice, you know, cute woman, oh, that's, you know, it's fine enough and safe. But guess what's going to happen? It's not going to be enough.
The porn industry knows that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And what's happened is that child pornography arrests have, within the last year, have increased 2,500%. Because it's just not enough. And those that they're saying that were arrested, according to the study, 85% of them admitted to abusing a minor. Because it wasn't enough. I got to do something harder. Sex trafficking alone has increased 842% in the last 10 years. And California leads that by over 15% over any other state. Why? Because it's just not enough. And so as you repeat these things in your brain, as the activities, looking at porn and, you know, releasing, spending the 5 minutes, whatever, in the bathroom I got to get this release. I got to deal with this, you know, thing in your brain. You're just setting yourself up. You're going to reap in your flesh what you're sowing into it. And it's going to be utter destruction. It's the awful downward cycle of Romans chapter 1, where God says, I give them over. And they do things that are just horrendous because it's just not enough. So, there is hope. There is hope. Our brains can be rewired. These pathways that we have created through these process of addictions and allowing the squatter into our brain can be redirected. We can conform our minds to know what is the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. But it's going to take commitment. It's trying harder. And behavior modification isn't going to work. We've said that before. It's just a Band-Aid. But your brains can be renewed. And so down here, I put this nice math equation. Accountability plus spiritual disciplines plus addressing the roots are going to equal freedom. Ooh. And so as we leave, I want to give, I didn't include it. I left a nice big space on here for it. A thing that Ted Chimmer had said to help rewire your brains. So when those thoughts of temptations come, and mind you, temptations in itself is not sin, right? It's just something in your brain. Your action and acting upon it is sin. But once those temptations come, as soon as that comes, you want to remember the acronym of BRACE, B-R-A-C-E. So brace is the first for B is to breathe deeply. You might say, well, Matt, that sounds kind of dumb. So what they say, and I don't know, but so I've heard, is that those guys are going into combat when they're getting shot at. Mortars are falling all over the round. Their limbic part of their brain, their first initial thought is, ah, I got to do something. Fight or flight, right? But they teach them to breathe. Breathe in with your nose, hold it, and then totally exhale it out of your stomach for at least four, you know, pull it in for 4 seconds and then release it. And what it's doing out, yeah, don't hold it forever, yeah. Nick. I want to see you back next week. Yeah, through your mouth. So intentionally inhale with your nose, hold it, and then exhale it out with your diaphragm out, and do that for, you know, a couple breaths. And what you'll find, even I did this even this past couple weeks, it changes your brain. It removes from your limbic system to your prefrontal cortex, your actual, hey, you're figuring things out. Like, I can change. I have an option, right? You're not just caught and stuck in it. Start rewiring those pathways. The R embrace is to recall. Recall the truths of God's word. Again, this is just not a Band-Aid. This is another weapon in our arsenal to fight this. So remember Romans 12:2. Renew our minds. Don't be conformed to this world, but renew your minds so that you can know the acceptable, perfect will of God. And then your memory verse in Romans 6:10 through 11. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So, or therefore, you must consider yourselves dead to sin. Sin, as those of us who call Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we don't have to bow or kowtow to sin. It has no power over us. If you're kowtowing to sin in your life, you've said that sin is more powerful and more important to you than Jesus Christ. Recall God's word. Meditate on his word. The A in ask is ask God for help. He may, in his sovereignty, in his goodness and graciousness, deliver you from that moment once and for all. You may choose not to, but you're asking him, asking Father, because as a good father, he will give you a good and perfect gift, because every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. Last one, the C is call. Again, we are not in this alone. I would encourage you, if you don't have someone that you can call or text right away, grab someone aside this evening before you go and get their number. Encourage them to be available and respond. Don't ghost them. You got a brother who texts you at 2 o'clock in the morning. Oh, I'm just too tired. Be there for him.
Yeah.
Because that's when the battle is going to come. 2 Timothy 2:2 in this here real quick. I know I got 1 minute left. Hold on. We're still on call. Yeah. Is that the right first reference? 2:22. Oh, yes, sorry, 2:22. That's part of my slight dyslexia. Thanks, Ty. 2 Timothy 2:22. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call in the name of the Lord from a pure heart. So you have brothers here that can help you who are wanting, we're all wanting to be pure in heart. We're all in this together. That's C is call. And the E is lastly, the last option, escape. Flee. Get the frick out of there. Run. You're like Joseph Potiphar's wife, right? He left his cloak behind. Didn't care what the ramifications were, man, but he's getting the heck out of there. Escape. Get out of there. By doing this, by hopefully using this tool, this brace tool, will help transform these pathways that we've created in our brain. With that, I'll close in prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. So, Father God, we thank you for your goodness. God, we thank you for just the amazing way that you've created our brains. And Lord, we just come before you, and we repent for allowing the squatter to reside in us. God, we ask
through your power, God, through your grace, your mercy, your unlimited mercies, God, that you would help us to kick this squatter out of our lives. God, help us to realize those trigger points, those moments that we know that we're leading up to the point of committing sin. God, when those temptations come, God, help us to remind these tools to breathe, to recall your word, to ask for your help, to call our brothers, and finally to escape if needed. God, as we pray and ask for victories this week, God, we pray for hope, we pray for restoration, and that we would be victorious to give you glory, God, in all this. As we head out, may the peace of God be upon us, Lord, and we return victorious and with words of praise and glorify you, God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, real quick, one thing I was thinking about, too, I know when I've sinned and felt like I needed to, you know, confess it. The biggest thing about sin is when you shed light on it, when you take it out of the darkness where it can fester, that darkness and everything can fester, you shed light on it by exposing it and asking somebody into your life with accountability. That's huge.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be one of those guys that you can call at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm saying that right now. So mm-hmm. if you want me to be your accountability partner, mm-hmm. I will be. Mm-hmm. And I will answer that phone. So.
Yep, that's primarily why I also put my phone number and email on there on the top of the handout as well. But yeah, feel free to contact us.
If you don't want to ask for my phone number now, you can look it up on the directory and the people app on the Westside app too. And just call me.
Accountability is a good one. It's been really helpful for me and my battle with one artist. Sorry, I can't show. It's something to struggle with. Like, we're a wolf pack and fight mm-hmm. this battle together.
Like
pray for each other and get connected.
No condemnation. It's conviction on your part, too.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be convicted. Nobody can convict you or condemn you. Take ownership of it. Conquer it.
All right. Thanks, gents. Have a good night.